Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard & Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to After the Jump. I'm your host, Grace Bonney, and today we're coming to you live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You can listen every Monday at noon on heritageradionetwork.org or download the podcast on iTunes. Today I'm doing a show that is very important to me. It's something that's near and dear to my heart. It's the concept or idea talking about the importance of in-person or real-life connections in this sort of huge digital creative community that we're all a part of. My guests today are Morgan Evans, the community strategist at Etsy in Brooklyn, New York, and Rena Tom from the newly launched Makeshift Society, who is talking to us from San Francisco, California this afternoon. So Morgan and Rena, thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Rena, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, good morning. All right. So I want to start with a question for both of us, because this is kind of a big topic, and it's something that I've sort of seen cropping up more recently. Why do both of you think that the sort of demand for and interest in in-person events, whether they're meetup groups or just sort of larger groups like Makeshift Society, why do you think the interest in these has started to increase lately?
Well, I think definitely in terms of what's going on with Etsy, we have, you know, what we offer is an online marketplace for handmade and vintage goods, but I find that offering the ability and the almost imperative to connect in person helps round out that experience of being part of a creative economy.
Rena, what about you?
I agree. I think that because technology has made so many things possible and brought so many people together, it's been fabulous, but there's sort of a correction happening right now, and people are trying to come back and take what they know and bring it back and talk to people on a one-on-one basis. I think once you get really excited and explore a lot of different worlds and meet a lot of different people, it's really great, but then it's a little bit overwhelming, and most people need to feel like they're having a talk with someone in a community, and you just can't do that in the digital world anymore. I think things have gotten too vast and a little bit overconnected, and so people are bringing it back in.
I think that overconnection is an interesting thing to talk about, because in some ways we all feel like, I think, we're incredibly connected, and you have 9 million friends on Facebook and Twitter and whatever other forum you belong to, but at the end of the day, are those people that you actually get to sit down and talk to? Are they people you can, like, actually call on for support? Morgan, you're nodding your head.
I totally agree with you. I feel like we're connected to, like, nodes and nodes and, you know, all these, like, interconnected networks, or each network has another network, so as much as we can sort of bring that down to the base level and have different meetups where you're connected to someone about, oh, we all live in this same neighborhood, or we all work on this, you know, we all crochet together, you know, let's talk about that and have that be a jumping off point for us to create some, like, meaningful in-person connections. I feel like that kind of synthesizing of this oversaturation is really starting to become a, like, really vital need for all of us.
Well, I think it's interesting because you mentioned people coming together about different sort of niche interests, and I think sometimes it's hard to narrow that down and pick one to meet about, because it feels like there are a million meetup groups you could be a part of, but you have to kind of at some point pick one. So I'm going to start with you, Morgan, to tell us a little bit more about what your job is like at Etsy, because you work with the Etsy teams who are often grouped around sort of smaller interests. Tell us a little bit about that.
Totally. So I work on the community team at Etsy. I do a lot of events and outreach, and my focus is on the Etsy Teams program, which is a feature on the site where members can self-organize around a shared location or a common interest. And so sometimes it's casual groups, sometimes it's really serious focused business groups like metalsmithing guilds that require dues and, you know, have requirements of monthly events and things like that. So a big part of my job is helping strategize to see how we can support these local interest-based organizations that are doing that exact thing we spoke about of creating neighborhoods focused, you know, like interest collectives within the larger world of Etsy, within the larger world of the internet.
So how did Etsy first start deciding to do this? I think if I was running Etsy and it had blown up the way that Etsy blew up, which is a great thing, I may have gotten lazy and decided that maybe I just want to sit there and do everything online because it's going so well. Why did you guys decide to branch out and do something in person? That's a lot harder to organize.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're lucky that our community is so active and vast. And, you know, the site was built as a place for the DIY and crafts community to have an online presence. But those, you know, the zine making collectives and the, you know, action groups and yarn bombing, you know, these things were happening. And so it was kind of just a matter of us building a place on the site for these folks to have a home base, a profile page on Etsy. And then in and above that, it's us just working out, trying to figure out how we can support this ongoing, you know, initiatives that are already happening. We're lucky enough so that we've kind of like followed the lead of that. And now we're there trying to speak with these people and figure out how we can, you know, keep it going and remove obstacles and provide resources.
So what sort of events do you guys do with the teams?
Yeah, so what we actually do is we have a teams fellowship program where teams can apply through a questionnaire, and then we work with them directly through a coaching program, or, you know, from anything from a series of emails or to Skype conversations and financial stipends to try and talk to them about how we can best provide a resource and help them, in essence, put on the event that matters most to their community that would bring them the most success and, you know, kind of like notoriety within the folks that they're reaching out to and the people they live next door to.
I think that's great. I love that you guys are sort of working to empower individuals to start groups, because sometimes it can be intimidating. You see somebody who you think, oh, this person's got all this motivation to put that group together, I'll just attend it. But I like that you guys are focusing on trying to give them the tools to do it themselves.
Yeah, I think that's really important to us. And kind of like from this bird's eye view of working for Etsy, what we can do is sort of connect people, like a team that maybe put on their own event in San Francisco last year with a team in Berlin that's just starting out. So we can kind of pair people up with mentors and see what's worked and what hasn't worked, and then create some handbooks and some blog posts and sort of like help make sure that nobody's reinventing the wheel by themselves.
Exactly. So, well, Rena, I want to go back to you for a minute, because Rena was actually the inspiration for the BizLady series that I do on Design Sponge and a lot of other in-person events, because she's always been incredibly sort of motivated to, when she sees sort of a problem or a hole in the niche, she goes and she finds a way to fill it expertly. So Rena, you recently launched Makeshift Society. Can you tell us a little bit about how that started and where you got the idea?
Sure. Makeshift Society started because I, as usual, was feeling lonely. I had owned Rare Device, a boutique in Brooklyn and in San Francisco, for about 6 years, and I had that with my business partner, Lisa, and we sold it last year, and I was doing consulting. And when you do consulting, you're mostly on your computer, you're sitting by yourself. Stop me if this sounds very familiar. And you're at home or you're at a cafe, and you're like, I feel like I'm missing out on something. I really miss interaction. I need to bounce ideas off of other people. So Makeshift Society came out of that. I decided that I was going to create a physical space that would help people by just being that spot that you could always come to and run into someone who might have the same interest as you, or might be able to help you out in your own business, or just might be someone cool to talk to, a place where you can go, you could do work, or you could just come and sit and see what happened, because I think serendipity is a huge part of a lot of creative projects these days. It's, you know, who is interesting, who did you have a nice conversation with at dinner or run into, your friend of a friend, and then you decide to do a project together. And I love when people do projects together. That's one of my favorite things, is to hook up creative people. So I thought, well, I'll make a space where people can come in and I can help do just that.
I think that's great. One of the things I think is interesting, I wrote about Makeshift Society on Design Sponge last week, and I got some interesting email responses from people who were asking, why does this always happen in big cities? Like, I mean, Etsy is doing these great things all over the country, but you guys are based here in New York, and you're doing this in San Francisco. What do you think it is about these groups? I feel like they do tend to pop up in major cities where you would think there would be a lot of outlets, but maybe there aren't. Why do you think things like this tend to pop up in big cities first, Rena?
I think big cities, there is a critical, you know, mass of people thing going on, but also it is a little bit lonelier in a big city. I think maybe if you're in a smaller town, more of the people who are similarly creative, you might bump into them a little bit more often, because there are fewer outlets for you. But here, the choice is almost endless, and everyone seems to be splintering off into their own micro group. I mean, there's some really weird, crazy meetup groups going on in this town. And so it's really easy to silo yourself away and not run into new people. So I really like when people from different disciplines get together and figure out a way to work together. And that's why I really want my space to be a place for all creative professionals, whether that means you're a blogger or you're a knitter or you're a photographer. You know, I want them all to come together and see how they can learn from each other. I think when you're in a littler town, maybe that happens a little bit more naturally, or maybe you don't think there are enough other people like you in order to start a business like that. But I think anybody can start their own group, and even if it's four people sitting in a living room once a month to start out with, that is something.
All right. Well, that's a good place to ask both of you something, because I think this is one of the biggest hurdles that people face. And it's what I always hear about as the receiving end of complaints as a blogger of, this sounds like a great idea. I have no way to do it. I have no money. Can both of you speak to sort of how you put together events like this, how relatively easy they are, or are they as terrifying and scary to put together as everybody thinks that they are?
I think they're, well, I don't know. I am the sort of person who just finds a problem and decides to do something about it. So I'm not afraid to speak up and just say, hey, I'm out here and I need help, or I think this is a good idea. Does anyone else think this is a good idea? And I put it out on all of my different networks. And because of the business I've been doing the last few years, I know a lot of different people in a lot of different places. And so I always put it out there, like, does this sound like a good idea? Is this something you want to be involved in? Make a note of that and then just sit down and do it. Don't be afraid. Start a little event. You know, I had a meeting here at Rare Device where I'm making my phone calls. The only landline in San Francisco I know about. I had a meeting last month just to say, hey, I think I'm going to do this society, and I made a little slideshow about it, and I got over 70 people to show up, and some people signed up because they just thought it was a good idea. So you never know. You need to start having those meetings and having the discussions and get people involved and then see where it takes you. And it might be a physical space. It might just be meeting in a restaurant or having a lunch every so often, but you've got to start somewhere, so don't be shy. Just step up and do it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I think my job at Etsy is sort of like finding people like you, Rena, and it, like, you know, the cool thing about the Etsy Teams platform is anyone can create one. So, you know, the online version of that would be if you created a team for Makeshift Society, and then we're kind of like, here's one, let's start talking about this. But I do see people like that. Like, not everyone's an organizer type who's going to lead with, have that idea, or be, you know, feel like they have the resources or network to necessarily move forward with it, although everyone should, and I'm sure you'd be positively surprised if you do, like you just said, Rena, just kind of just do it, put it out there. So I see my job as kind of trying to find people who are doing that, reach out to them, give them resources, and then help connect them with like-minded folks, giving, you know, we've got this venue with Etsy Teams. But I think one way, like, we've been experimenting with lots of ways to try and help, you know, the perfect event model, and how can we empower people looking at this global network, empower people to like do get together in their neighborhood. And we do have a kind of cool model that we've developed, is this Etsy Craft Party model. So on August 24th, we are celebrating something called Etsy Craft Party, which is a global event happening on a local scale. And the cool thing, if you visit etsy.com/craftparty2012, you'll be able to actually see meetups happening near you. And you can sign up to go to an event that's already happening, or you can host one of your own. And one of my favorite things about it is that you can create a meetup in your town, even if you're not willing to host it or be necessarily the sole facilitator of the event. So I think what I keep trying to do is like build these networks of people who are trying to build networks into a way where they can communicate with and shout out one another.
You're connecting connectors.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to talk about who those people are, both the connectors and the attendees, when we get back. We're going to take a quick break.
Radio Network and the growing movement to change the way we eat and think about our planet. For more information, go to keep5.com.
Welcome back to After the Jump. I'm your host, Grace Bonney, and you're listening to us live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You can listen every week at heritageradionetwork.org, or you can download the podcast on iTunes. Today, we're talking about the importance of in-person and real-life connections in the digital creative community, and my guests are Rena Tom of Makeshift Society and Morgan Evans, the community strategist for Etsy. So before the break, we were talking about connecting connectors and trying to find the people who are sort of motivated to have events and how to connect them to resources and the people who like to attend them. I want to talk a little bit about who are the people who attend things like this, because before we started recording today, I was talking about feeling like there might be very different needs for people who are maybe in the crafting community but are a little bit older, or people who are just starting out. So I'd love to hear both of you, Rena and Morgan, talk about what you think the average attendee is like, or is there an average attendee for these in-person events?
I think at Etsy, we always, like, the events that we personally, you know, host as a company, we always make sure that they're open to the public and free, so that we kind of invite everyone. And I think sort of the events we're talking about here with targeted Etsy Teams events, those have the ability to be more focused toward, you know, people that are in a specific neighborhood or that are working on a specific project or curious about tackling a specific social issue or problem. When we put the call out, it's all sorts of people come, which is one of the, like, that's kind of the serendipity that Rena mentioned, which I feel like is one of the most exciting things that happens, is you go to a meetup and then who knows, you find someone who you go into business with or go in together on a studio space and set up a brick and mortar shop down the line.
That's great. Rena, what are you hoping for? I know Makeshift hasn't sort of officially started yet, but you've been doing groups like this for a while. Who do you sort of see as your primary target for Makeshift?
My primary target, that's a good question. I'm trying to leave it pretty open here and see who's showing up. So it's been an interesting group. I do have some makers. I do have a lot of graphic designers. I have a lot of writers and people who are just curious. They're curious about what other people are doing. They're curious about collaborations and how that's shaping our society these days. And they just want to poke their head in on a lot of different things and see what appeals to them. And, yeah, not everybody is a connector, but everyone wants to be a part of something and is willing to help out. So I do have a lot of lovely people who are members who are volunteering to help, you know, what can I do for this space? Can I help make something? Can I help attend? I'm just getting a wide range of people at all different age ranges. A lot of them are women, but we do have some guys who I feel are super enlightened and not afraid of a whole bunch of women in one room, and they're joining up with us too. So that's great. And a lot of what we're planning to do in the future is programming. This is going to be a big challenge for me because I don't really know a ton about it, so I'm learning something too. But having classes at different levels I think will help bring in a lot of different people. So we're going to have beginning making and learning classes, as well as more advanced classes for, you know, small business topics, people who are doing projects like this for a living and need a little bit extra boost in order to make things profitable and more successful.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Also, we do, so when we do hands-on events, we do this monthly crafting event, usually in our neighborhood in Dumbo in Brooklyn. And the cool thing about that is the making, the project, the programming that you're referring to can often serve as like the currency or the excuse to get together. And then that a little bit frees up the social anxiety of just a networking event, something like that, where you're working on, you know, sewing this pouch out of a recycled, you know, bike tube, something like that. And then you end up meeting someone and you guys can move forward. But the reason for you being there, you've got a task, your hands are busy, and you're like focused on this project.
I think that's a great idea. When I first moved to Brooklyn, I lived in Williamsburg, and the first in-person event I attended was a knitting event of girls who watched America's Next Top Model and would knit things together. And I don't think anyone knitted anything. I think we all just talked about America's Next Top Model. But that was how I made some of my first friends. And we were all a really diverse group, but we had this one thing of we all like to make things with our own two hands in common. And I think that was great because I was a little intimidated. I thought, I have no idea how to knit, but maybe I'll give it a shot. And then I found everybody was like that. And I think a lot of people have to get over that hurdle of realizing that not everyone there is going to be like the best knitter in the world. You can sort of, everyone can still attend.
Totally. You get the people who want to come out and meet people, and knitting has kind of become the sidelines.
Yeah. And I hope that is a hurdle that I think both of you guys are working with groups that are sort of doing things to break down those walls. I know that people I talk to on blogs who are readers who want to attend in-person events get intimidated and think like, well, I'm not a maker, or I'm not an artist. I'm just a blogger, or I'm a writer, or I'm just an enthusiast of this industry. But those people are actually really crucial to making bigger projects happen, because maybe you're not a painter, but maybe you're somebody who understands how to build a business. And so those are the people you need to partner with to make things happen. So I'm glad you guys are sort of setting the net wide for that. One thing I'd love to talk about, and Arena, I don't know if you've got anything for this one quite yet, so this might be more of a working question, but how have you seen things sort of change in a more concrete way with Etsy sellers in terms of collaborations happening as a result of these events, or, you know, increase in sales, or more people just signing up in general?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We've definitely found that, you know, participation on an Etsy team means, you know, goes hand in hand with you being involved in your community, you being invested in your shop and your products, and, you know, looking to make friends and make acquaintances. And so it does, like, being involved in these Etsy teams is a positive thing for your business. It's going to help you. We get emails and testimonials all the time about people who learned some, you know, aspect of photography, or had like crucial help from someone that they met on their team. So it's a source of support. It's a source of, lots of people do cross promotion where they'll take a photo of, you know, their item and then someone else's item who's on their team. So it does, there is this, like, you become part of this community where these connections are really thoughtful and meaningful. So you do help each other out. You share tips and resources, and it's just a great way to educate one another. So I do think that the events that teams put on are immensely successful to mm-hmm. people's shops and businesses.
One thing I'm curious about, and this goes to both of you, is sort of the relationship between in-person events like this that I think tend to have this very, like, indie spirit to them versus the idea of collaborating them with a larger brand. And I know, Rena, you've got some larger brands like Chronicle helping out with the sponsorship for Makeshift. And I know, Etsy, you guys have done some great events with West Elm. Mm-hmm. And what's that like to work with a larger brand but still hold that indie spirit intact? How do you keep that going for smaller events?
I think what we do, we try and be really thoughtful so that the support we're getting from the, you know, someone we're working with goes directly back to our sellers, our community. So, for instance, we're actually working with Michael's Craft Supplies with the Etsy Craft Party. So every single location that has more than 25 RSVPs is going to get a package of craft supplies from Michael's, which is really awesome. So I think we have a really great team that works with these companies to make sure the partnerships are just, you know, it's not on a corporate level, but it's on a person-to-person level, so that these people, the people who are sewers, are getting scissors and they're getting thread, you know, not things they're not going to use, and not just like things that we need, things that they need.
Yeah. Arena, what about you?
I think it's definitely important to make sure that if you're going to work with a larger brand, that their values are totally in line with your own. And so for us, we are doing most of the reaching out to our favorite brands, people who we trust, products that we use, people who we know have the same creative spirit. So Chronicle is perfect for that. They do a ton of DIY books and business books and just kooky art books. We love them. They're a really big supporter in this town. We're also working with, you know, people like Janine from Uppercase Magazine. Our members are going to get a discount for anything in her store, and Janine is wonderful. The magazine is great about promoting creative activities and in all different disciplines. So we're definitely looking to people like that who aren't just like, oh, okay, I can get a packet of
candy
or sponges or whatever it has to be, energy drinks. But that doesn't have anything to do with what we want to do, you know. But if it helps you further your creative impulses or your entrepreneurial impulses in some way, then yes, we're going to partner with them.
Good. I'm glad to know that there are sort of larger brands that are interested in working with smaller meetup groups. I think that's something that a lot of people see as a hurdle to getting these groups going, but I think maybe it's not so scary to approach them and make a presentation.
Totally.
So I want to ask a little bit about sort of looking forward, the future of the way these events are going to coordinate with the online community. Because I think we've mentioned before how maybe the pendulum swung a little far in one direction in terms of people doing everything online and now feeling this need to reconnect in person. How do both of you sort of see this sort of trend and meetup groups and guilds and places like Third Ward and places where you go and interact with people and do things with your own two hands? How do you see that sort of growing with the online community?
I think it's going to become more and more like imperative, because as things get bigger and bigger, this, you know, wanting to like get back in touch with singular humanity, you know, one thing at a time, one-to-one connection is just going to become more and more necessary to us, like functioning as social beings, not just social media beings.
Do you think people will do less online, or do you think they're going to continue to do both and balance them evenly?
I'm hoping for a balance. Yeah. I think that like the internet and online enables us to have these connections where, you know, I think a connection where I put something in my shop and someone in Tokyo buys it, that's a meaningful connection too. You know, I think that the internet enables, you know, you to take distance and time out of the equation, which is opens up your whole world. So that's a really positive thing, even though it does make the way for inundation. But I think ideally we move forward both ways and keep sort of leveling it out, this offline and personal connection, with opening your world to people who you might never have met if it weren't for the internet.
What about you, Rena?
I think that online communities and technology in general, I think they need to be seen as tools and not, you know, the end result, at least for our people. So they could be tools to help you grow, help you meet other creative people, help you get your work done and your work out there. But it can't stop with that. And that's why taking things back offline is so important. I think I just read that Khan Academy, you know, is doing summer camps, and they're in-person summer camps for kids. And I think that's really interesting, that something that was born online and meant to, you know, spread to as many people as possible by being online is still coming up with these little intimate groups where people have to meet back up and see each other face to face and learn something in a different way by doing so.
I think we need more art summer camps. I think I was looking for that when we did our newspaper this year, and I could only find one, Squam, which is great. But it would be nice to have more summer camps with arts.
Oh,
Etsy,
yeah.
Etsy, looking in your direction.
I'll work on it.
So one thing I want to know, what do you guys think is sort of missing from the in-person community? Are there events that you guys would like to see pop up, even just that you'd like to attend personally, that are maybe unrelated to the businesses you both work for? What do you think is in need that this community would like?
Ooh, that's a toughie.
Yeah.
How to tie top knots, Rena?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. A lot of the big popular events that float through during the summers, of course, are the sales, the craft bazaars, and things like that. I think I wish there was a learning component that wasn't as sales-focused to that, just to get more people involved. And I don't know how practical that is, but it would be really lovely if that happens. So you are surrounding yourself with creative people and creative things to buy, but also more ways to learn how to do things yourself and more chances to meet other people who are also learning at the same time. I think that's a really good opportunity because there are big, well-publicized events, and you just have that large number of people all coming together, people probably from across the country that you don't normally see and would love to learn from. So maybe to tie a small, I don't want to call it conference, but some kind of an event along with these big sales would be really fun and would definitely get me out there.
What about you, Morgan?
I see so many, you know, niche communities and you know, interest groups, and I feel that the potential for them to have in-person events is there. I think a lot of times it's just the space, the venue, or, you know, just most times just sort of like what you said earlier, Rena, just the empowerment to be like, you can do this. You don't need to be crowned the expert. You know, nobody's going to ask you to start the first event in, you know, craft blogging or whatever it is that, you know, I think people feel like, oh, I'm not the expert in this. But I think it's more just, we need to have more empowerment and maybe mentoring each other and kind of just a little bit like give the green light. The more events we have, the better, as opposed to like feeling like we need to save up and talk to everyone and have the pinnacle event in your arena.
Mm-hmm. These are great ideas. So before we go, I want to ask you guys one last question about what you guys do to unwind when you're not busy planning events across the country. What are some of your favorite ways to sort of relax from the craziness that is the crafting world?
Oh, my God.
I know yeah, Rena has a small child, so maybe there is no relaxing room happening.
I don't get to relax a whole lot this summer, unfortunately. I signed up for a printmaking class, and it was supposed to be yesterday, and I had to rewrite my business plan, so that didn't actually happen.
Oh, no.
So I love to read, and I love to read about everything, so I have a giant stack of books behind my head, and then I read a little, and then I go to sleep, and that's the most relaxing thing of all for me right now. So.
I like to go swimming. I've been hanging out on the Rockaways a lot this summer.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Rockaway tacos?
Yeah, exactly. It's playing in the waves and reading on the beach.
That sounds good. I think reading is a popular unwinding for those of us who look at screens all
yeah,
day.
It's true. I need to just put the computer away.
Exactly. We'll just burn our eyes out a different way.
I also like, it's like different, but I like crafting with my friends, you know, just kind of just drawing, just relaxed crafting, not necessarily crafting with an end in mind.
That sounds good. Well, maybe those crafting things will turn into more meetup groups.
Yes.
So we're out of time for today. I want to thank both Morgan from Etsy and Rena from Makeshift Society. You can visit Makeshift Society at makeshiftsociety.com. You can visit Etsy at etsy.com, and be sure to check out the Etsy craft party happening on August 24th. So thanks, Morgan and Rena, for being here.
Thank you so much.
And thanks to you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is dedicated to providing the most up-to-date information and news on the food industry. Interviews with chefs and in-depth pieces on food systems take listeners literally from the farm to the fork. Can you hear this anywhere else? Nope. Press the donate button on our website and learn how you can become a founding member and support the station.